the content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the 2022 issue of The Ultimate Guide to Almost Everything, Popular Science for Kids. We're going to begin today on page 32, and there's pictures here. A buffalo, giraffe, zebras, and the title is Nature. What are grasslands? While there are different ways to define a grassland, it's estimated that this biome, a system of communities that includes plants and animals, plus factors like climate, temperature, and soil, accounts for 20 to 40% of the land on Earth. Grasslands are too dry to have forests with lots of trees, but aren't dry enough to be classified as deserts. They receive enough rainfall to support a wide range of grasses, rushes, and wildflowers. Grasslands are called different things in different areas. In South America, where they spread over 300,000 square miles between the Andes Mountains and the Atlantic Ocean, they are called pampas. The great belt of grasslands that stretches 4,000 miles from eastern Europe to China is called the steppes. And in the United States and Canada, grasslands are called prairies. There are two main types of grasslands, tropical and temperate. In tropical grasslands, located near the equator and also called savannas, most rain falls within a short period. Temperate grasslands get less rain, have higher quality soil that supports a wide variety of grasses, and have few trees and shrubs. Four grasslands facts. 1. Taller grasses can grow more than 7 feet high with equally deep roots, while shorter species may be less than 1 foot. Here's a picture of a couple of people. Looks like they're in the 7 foot area. Wow, that's tall. So that's some tall grass. 2. Grasses may look similar, but there are actually more than 10,000 species around the world offering great biodiversity. Because grasslands are so dry, fires are a natural occurrence. Fire can travel at 600 feet per second over grasslands. It helps clear out older grasses so that new ones can then grow. 3, many species of animals live on grasslands, including zebras and giraffes, on the savannas and bison and prairie dogs on the prairies. Prairies especially covered 170 million acres across North America, but today only 2 million acres remain. Less than 10% of grasslands are protected worldwide. There may be as many as 25 animal species eating different grasses within the same grassland habitat. Continuing with nature, what is a coral reef? Coral reefs are rocky, colorful, alien worlds home to thousands of sea creatures. But what exactly is a coral reef? How does it form? To answer those questions, let's take a look at a creature called a coral polyp. Coral polyps are small animals that attach themselves to rocks and other hard surfaces and to one another by the millions. They secrete calcium carbonate at the base, creating a hard skeleton. These ocean builders create coral reefs. Most coral reefs are found in warm tropical waters, but some grow in cooler deep sea areas. How many marine animals hang out among coral? A lot. Coral reefs are underwater ecosystems inhabited by many animals and plants. In fact, more than 4,000 species of fish live among the world's coral formations. Many animals use the reefs as a rest stop, since it has plenty of grub for them, these travelers. Others settle there because of this abundance of food or of the safety of coral living, or they use it as a breeding ground. You don't say. There are more than 2,000 species of sea stars, also called starfish. Most have five arms, but they can have more than 50. Tiger sharks swim in most oceans around the world and are top reef predators. They have tiger-like stripes on their bodies. Why are clownfish and sea anemones such close coral companions? The natural world can be a dangerous place, yet some animals are BFFs. Take the colorful clownfish and wiggly sea anemone. They are besties because they have a symbiotic relationship. That means both of them benefit from their relationship. Scientists call it mutualism. Sea anemones and clownfish live near the surface of the coral reef. The bright colors of the clownfish attract predators. Before they can gobble up the clownfish, however, the sea anemone flexes its muscles. It grabs hold of the predator with its tentacles and stings it using poisonous cells. Those cells paralyze the animal, making it an unlucky entree for the hungry anemone. Why doesn't the clownfish get stung while it's swimming in and out of the sea anemone's poisonous tentacles? The clownfish is covered with a special kind of mucus or coating that protects it from its host stings. It's a win-win for both animals. The docile clownfish attracts food for the sea anemone, which in turn protects the clownfish. At just 0.5 to 1 inch long, pygmy seahorses are tiny denizens of the deep. They're masters of camouflage. Their bodies match the color of the coral where they spend their whole lives. Moray eels hide out in coral reefs, waiting for tasty prey to come along. They open wide for cleaner shrimp, but this isn't mealtime. The shrimp nibble off parasites and debris. They get the meal, and the eel gets a good dental cleaning. Continuing with nature, where is the world's biggest hot desert? Believe it or not, the Sahara Desert, which covers most of North America, is as big as the entire United States, including Alaska. This huge area of mostly sand was once a bright green garden of plants. Weather patterns change, however, and now, with less than 3 inches of rain a year, the Sahara is a challenging place to live for animals, plants, and people. How do living things survive in this harsh world? Animals and plants have adapted to living in a hot place with very little water. Acacia and palm plants can grow very quickly when any water is present. A type of thyme tree can live for years with very little water. Desert foxes have large ears that help release the heat from their body. Some types of snails and lizards hibernate for years, waiting for rain to revive them. Things you may not know about the Sahara. Number one, 11 countries have parts of the Sahara within their borders. They are Algeria, Chad, Egypt, Libya, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Western Sahara, Sudan, and Tunisia. Two, the Sahara includes some mountainous areas, especially in the south. The tallest point is in Chad at 11,204 feet. In Egypt, one called Qattara is 436 feet below sea level. And number three, the Sahara is basically 3 million square miles, but its size actually changes over time. Winds push massive sand dunes back and forth like waves in an enormous ocean, moving the edges of the desert. What is the coldest desert on Earth? We typically think of deserts as hot, sandy landscapes like the Arabian Desert in the Middle East or the Sahara Desert in Africa. But there is actually a desert where the average year-round temperature can get down to a chilly minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit. Antarctica. Located at the bottom of the globe, Antarctica is Earth's southernmost continent and its fifth largest. More to the point, Antarctica is the world's largest desert, the driest place on the planet. What makes a desert is that it gets less than 20 inches of rainfall a year. Yet Antarctica holds 70% of the world's fresh water. How can some place so wet be so dry? Nearly all of that water is locked up in ice. Antarctica is also the windiest place on Earth and the coldest. Antarctica is a sunny desert, but only for about half the year. From late March to September, the sun shines 24/7. From September to February, it's dark 24 hours a day. The extreme days and nights have to do with the way the Earth tilts on its axis and how it orbits the sun. Although several species of penguin live in the southern hemisphere, the emperor and the adelie are the only two that spend their entire lives in Antarctica. Emperor penguins breed in the winter. When the female lays her one egg, she heads off for the sea to find food. The father is parent-in-chief. He balances the egg on his feet and on his feathered skin, keeps it warm until it hatches about 2 months later. There is a lake hidden under Antarctica. It's called Lake Vostok, and it lies 2.5 miles below a sheet of ice. Lake Vostok is twice as large as Lake Ontario in North America. There are several species of whale that spend time in the waters around Antarctica. Orcas are among the smaller ones at around 23 to 31 feet. Humpback whales are a little bit larger, between 39 and 49 feet. Bigger than them all is the great Antarctic blue whale, which can grow up to 110 feet. While the extreme cold and limited sunlight make it difficult for plants to grow in Antarctica, there are about 1,000 different types of non-flowering plants, including mosses, lichens, liverworts, and algae. There are only two native flowering plants, Antarctic pearlwort and Antarctic hairgrass. Show some nice pictures of penguins. Looks like they're frolicking and having a good time in Antarctica. What tactics do plants use to survive and thrive? Animals communicate with one another using movements, facial expressions, scents, and sounds. But did you know that plants communicate as well? Plants use their colors, odors, and sometimes even an ability to glow in the dark to attract or repel other animals. The corpse flower is one example. When it blooms, it smells like a rotting corpse. The awful smell attracts insects that help the plant survive. The corpse flower's pungent odor attracts fresh flies, which are fooled into believing that there's rotting meat to eat. The insects fly into the flower. When they realize there's nothing to eat, they leave. But the corpse flower pollen sticks to them. The flies deposit the pollen on other flowers, keeping the species pollinated. Milkweed are wildflowers with more than 70 species in the United States alone. Monarch caterpillars need milkweed to grow and develop into butterflies, and female monarch butterflies lay eggs only on milkweed plants attracted by milkweed's nectar. Venus flytrap is one of about 600 known species of meat-eating plants. These plants lure, trap, and then consume all types of small insects, including gnats and flies. The plants then secrete various chemicals that break down the bodies of the trapped creatures and digest the nutrients. Fungi are a type of organism that is neither a plant nor an animal. This includes mushrooms. Can communicate too. In fact, there are more than 70 species of mushrooms that throw off light, a phenomenon known as bioluminescence. The light attracts insects that help spread the mushroom's spores. The giant Bornean pitcher plant, Nepenthes raja, has an unusual relationship with small rodents called tree shrews. A shrew will crawl into a pitcher, cup-like leaf, at night and dine on the plant's sweet nectar. In return, the shrew contributes much-needed nitrogen to the plant. It poops in the pitcher. While other plants are still waiting to wake from their winter slumber, the skunk cabbage warms itself up to a tasty 70 degrees. As a result, the plant melts the snow and ice around it. While many pollinators are drawn to it, most animals avoid the plant because of its odor. Why are there extreme events on Earth? The Earth can be a shaky, fiery, loud, and raucous place. After all, it's home to extreme events such as volcanoes, earthquakes, and tsunamis. What causes these massive and sometimes devastating occurrences? The Earth crust is made up of many pieces called plates. These plates float on a layer of superheated liquid rock and are always in motion, sliding and bumping up against one another. The edges where the plates meet are called plate boundaries or faults. When they smash into each other, they create rippling waves of motion that result in an earthquake. The movement of Earth's plates also has an impact on the formation of volcanoes. A volcano is an opening in the Earth that allows for the eruption of rocks and steam from below. They're located above reservoirs of very hot rock. When heat and other forces push the magma to the surface, it bursts through or erupts. Magma that reaches the surface is called lava. No volcanic eruption in the past 10,000 years has matched that of Mount Tambora, which sits 13,000 feet high in Indonesia. In 1815, Tambora threw so much ash, rock, and gas up into the air that it blocked out the sunlight and reduced the Earth's temperature by 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Chile is home to the world's tallest volcano, Ojos del Salado. It means Eyes of the Salty One. Soars to a height of 22,589 feet. Ojos del Salado is still active, but it hasn't erupted in more than 1,000 years. Tsunamis are gigantic waves caused by earthquakes or volcanic activity under the sea, while ocean surface waves caused by wind move only through the top layer of water. Tsunami waves move deep columns of water. As they approach the shallow waters of the shore, they swell and can be very large and destructive. At 1,720 feet, the tsunami that struck Licha Bay in southeast Alaska in 1958 is the largest we know of. It was caused by earthquake activity, but only indirectly. A quake dislodged 40 million cubic yards of loose rock from above the bay shoreline, causing it to crash 3,000 feet into the water below. The biggest earthquake ever recorded was in 1960 in Valdivia, Chile. On the 10-point Richter scale used to measure earthquake's magnitude, it registered a 9.5. It also created an 80-foot tsunami that crashed into the Chilean coast. Five more fascinating facts. What is the most massive organism in the world? It's not an elephant, whale, hippo, or rhinoceros, but those would be good guesses. There's actually a much, much bigger living thing out there, a tree, or we should say a lot of trees, called pando, Latin for I spread. This is a gigantic grove of more than 40,000 aspen trees in Fish Lake National Forest, Utah. The trees share a single root system and originate from a single parent tree, so they all have the same genetic makeup. To reproduce, the trees clone themselves over and over. Why don't these ancient skeletons ever decompose? The dead valley, it means dead valley, in Namibia is a forest of dead trees. Experts say the trees are 1,000 years old, yet they never decompose, break down. Why is that? The dead valley was once an oasis with a freshwater river and plants. But about 900 years ago, the valley went dry. The water stopped flowing, blocked by towering dunes. Over time, the trees died, but high temperatures and dry air have preserved them and kept them from rotting. How old is the oldest sequoia? Giant sequoia trees can be more than 3,000 years old. That's about 100 times as long as the lifespan of a typical tree in your neighborhood. The oldest living sequoia is named the President. It's 3,200 years old and grows in Sequoia National Park in California. What makes this tree look like a box of crayons? The rainbow eucalyptus grows in the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, and Indonesia. The most amazing thing about it is its dazzling multicolored bark. The trunk sheds to reveal a green inner bark, which changes colors as it ages. Since the bark doesn't shed all at once, different colors can be seen at the same time. Wow, very picturesque. Why are these pines crooked? The crooked forest of Poland has some of the oddest shaped trees on the planet. They were planted around 1930. The trees grew and bent northward at a 90-degree angle, then curved to grow straight up. Why? Some believe a heavy snowfall fell when the trees were young, causing the flexible base of the young trees to bend. Others say farmers may have intentionally bent them to try to make wheels. Okay. Chapter 3, Amazing Places. From ancient wonders to modern skyscrapers, read on to explore some of the coolest sights from around the globe. What a beautiful picture here, a skyline here. The Statue of Liberty's torch is covered in 24-karat gold. More than 50 million people visit Times Square annually. For more facts on New York City and other cities, see page 58. We'll get there. What are the seven wonders of the ancient world? Thank an old Greek guy named Philo of Byzantium for a famous list of seven wonders of the ancient world. He looked at the world he knew in 250 BC and listed the human-made things that he thought were the most amazing and spectacular. His list included the Zeus of Olympia, Hanging Gardens of Babylon, Colossus of Rhodes, Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, Lighthouse of Alexandria, Temple of Artemis, and the Great Pyramid of Giza. These huge structures and statues were made by hand. The invention of power tools, bulldozers, and industrial cranes were still centuries in the future. Only one of these wonders remains today, the Great Pyramid of Giza on the right. Number one, the Great Pyramid of Giza, made of more than 2 million blocks of stone and standing 455 feet tall. This is the only wonder on Philo's list that still exists. Built as a tomb for pharaohs more than 4,000 years ago, the pyramid was the world's tallest building until the 1800s. You could stack three great pyramids next to the Empire State Building. What are the seven modern wonders? The list changes, but here's one from a 2017 poll. Although they are called modern, some are more than 2,000 years old. The Great Wall of China, built more than 2,500 years ago, it stretches at least 5,500 miles. Number two, the Taj Mahal, finished in 1653. It's a monument to the deceased wife of the Mughal emperor. Petra, Jordan, the sandstone Nabataean city, was abandoned about 1,500 years ago. Number four, Colosseum, Rome. This stadium is where ancient Romans watched gladiator fights and more. Number five, Christ the Redeemer statue, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Finished in 1931, it's 98 feet tall. The Chichen Itza, Mexico, built about 1,000 years ago. It's a striking remnant of the Mayan culture. And number seven, Machu Picchu in Peru. These are the remains of an Incan city high up in the Andes Mountains. What is an island? The easy geography answer is that an island is an area of land completely surrounded by water. But that simple definition doesn't really show how amazing and important islands are. From tiny specks of coral in a huge ocean to packed islands along crowded seashores, islands around the world have long called to people as places to get away from it all, or to live their lives away from the crowds. What's it like to live on one? One of the most remote places on Earth is Pitcairn island, home to about 50 people. The only way to reach it is by a long marine voyage from Tahiti, which is more than 1,300 miles away. The whole island is only about 2 square miles. Isolated from the rest of life, some animals exist solely on islands. An example is the Channel Islands fox, which lives only on pieces of land located off the central California coast. The hundreds of islands in Polynesia in the Pacific Ocean were settled by people who undertook very long ocean voyages in small rowing craft thousands of years ago. Hawaii is America's only island state. Its 8 islands joined the Union in 1959. The world's largest island in Greenland, which is at 836,300 square miles. It is about 3.2 times the size of Texas. The Galapagos Islands, off western South America, helped inspire Charles Darwin's study of evolution. He saw that there are as many islands animals adapted to their new lives. Well, how are they formed? Volcanic, oceanic, these are the tops of undersea volcanoes that have burst above the surface of the ocean. Coral. The islands are built up over centuries by the skeletal remains of tiny creatures. Tidal. They're connected to the continent, but the connection is underwater at high tide. Artificial. These have been made by humans. Continental. They are chunks of land that have broken off from continents. And barrier. Often made of sand or coral. These lie parallel to continental coastlines. And here we see a picture of the different islands across our wonderful planet. Shows the little fox here on his little perch. And a map of some of the islands, Hawaiian islands. There are 8 of them. Did you know that? And here we show the island in Greenland, the largest, probably the largest island, 836,000 feet, square miles. And, of course, the beautiful Galapagos Islands. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.